Why is Russ always delayed?
I forgot, but that the timing was perfect.
So dumb.
Yeah, so when we're editing, we just got to remember that Russ is a dullard. Okay. That can't count.
We can do it again. I'll be really good this time.
No, f*** you, never again. Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the year.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and my game of the year is better than Justin's.
My name is Christopher Plant, and my game of the year is the best game of the year.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and my game's pretty good, I guess.
This is Besties, where the best friends decide the best games.
That's how...
Let's f*** some games.
Well...
How is that for a tagline?
You set the tone, and the tone is lewd.
I set the explicit tag, more importantly.
Can we, too late, is it too late to rename the show Lewdology, and the lewd is L-E-W-D, and it's all about four lewd rude dudes with Tude talking about the best games.
We want to talk serious about dumb games.
We are all, of course, employees of the Vox Games media empire.
Not for long if we keep talking about f***ing games.
That is true. That is true. I'm the managing editor of Vox Games. My cohorts are a selection of senior editors and deputy news editors. And every week we will gather here to talk about the new games that were released that week. And if they can be our new game of the year. So here's how it works. We're going to choose a current game of the year during this episode. We will each bring a new contender each week. If at all possible, it must be as recent a release as possible, so we make sure everybody gets a fair shake. Each week, we will each choose a contender, and at the end of the episode, we will decide if they dethrone our current champion. So let's get right to it. First, Chris, could you explain the rules?
Sure. Of course I will. So here's how it works. There are four of us, and each of us has our own game of the week.
How many games is that, Christopher?
So that's four people, four games.
Okay. I thought I had the math on that right, and it turns out that I did. I got it.
You got it. Check your work. Each person gets a couple minutes to introduce their game of the week and justify their choice. And after that, we will get a couple minutes to dismantle their choice and show why it's the worst, and our game is the best.
Okay.
The other day... I was hanging out with my roommate and we were throwing Skittles into each other's mouths. Does that qualify as a game? What's our definition?
That does qualify as a game.
So a Skittle toss could ostensibly be the best.
That's also more of a life choice. I would say.
I mean, the question is, did Skittle toss release on Tuesday?
Well, let's do pros and cons. Pro: it did release on Tuesday. Con: when the Skittle hits your teeth, it feels bad.
So that might not be your pick. You're just using
that probably isn't my pick for that reason alone.
Okay.
Russ Frushtick, what's the game of the year?
Oh, we're starting with me.
Yes.
I think that's, I know, a, it. So apparently your game of the year isn't Mavis Beacon teaches outline reading.
No, clearly
because
not.
that would be
you're
a
right,
skill.
You're right. You know what? I'll start just to help you guys out. How's this? Okay, so my game of the year. An edgy pick, a powerful pick to start the entire season of Besties, is Fairway Solitaire. A solitaire game. Mm. Now, I know what you're thinking. Solitaire.
Yeah, that Skittle tossing sounds a lot better.
You're right. You're right. But Fairway Solitaire does not hurt your teeth benefit. So I'm going to break it down for you. Fairway Solitaire uses the golf format of solitaire, which means you can...
Oh, yes.
Does everyone know how solitaire is played?
Yeah, you get seven clubs, and then you hit cards.
No. You hit cards as hard as you can with clubs.
You can put lower or higher numbers on any card. So if you have a five laying down, you could put a six or four.
Wait a minute. Can you review the numbers that are next to five again?
Okay, so I believe six is higher than five, and then the four is lower.
Okay.
But what if I have, like, an eight?
No, that wouldn't be allowed unless you have a seven.
What do I do with a card then?
Or a nine.
But an eight is like wicked higher than a five.
Yeah, I think I'll take an eight over a five anyway.
Yeah.
So if you have an eight, you tear it in half, and that's what makes this mobile game so useful.
Yeah,
because you save money on cards.
Throw eights out. Eights are garbage.
Yeah. So you buy new cards as you rip them up. Is that how the game works?
No, there's no buying cards.
It's DLC.
I think we're getting a little hung up on the numbers, gentlemen. The counting. Don't get overwhelmed by counting.
So there are 52 cards, and then you rip up half of them.
And then you buy this game. Russ, tell us about it.
Okay, so the basic idea is that it's sort of like a puzzle game where you're trying to get through all the cards using this simple format of solitaire. But you can earn money, in-game money, not in-app purchasing money, to buy wild cards. Like if you have a 5 laying down and you don't have a 6 on your card pile, you can buy a 6. So it sort of implements this RPG puzzle-solving mechanic where you're trying to get through this layer of cards without, you know, running out of your card pile.
So
where's the goal?
Super lame when I describe it. I'm realizing.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Should be easy to beat.
But
how much money do I need? Can I buy my way to the top?
No, because, there's other elements where, like, you can't buy wild cards if you've just used a wild card. Man, yeah, this game sounds awful when I describe it.
I'm going to list a lot of golf things, and I'm going to need you to tell me if they're in the game. 1, Tiger Woods.
Maybe.
2, Caddyshack goofs.
Yes. Yes, because there is a gopher who causes mayhem. So, yes.
Who's the voice? Who's the gopher? What celebrity actor is the gopher?
There's a gopher.
The gopher does not talk in Caddyshack.
So the gopher causes mayhem. This is obviously rated M for mature, right?
Wait, doesn't the gopher talk?
He sort of mumbles.
I thought he's like, fast as fast can be. You'll never catch me.
No, shut up.
You're thinking of Jack Ching Bada Bing.
That's right.
From Out of Control.
Third golf goof, everybody.
It, Griffin.
When you boot it up, does it start with that song? It's like, I'm all right. From Caddyshack.
Is that Saved by the Bell?
I'm not sure I know the song. Keep singing.
That's another. Griffin was going for another Caddyshack goof, apparently.
Yeah. I'm trying to stack what works. I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to make it simple.
Please make it. At least make it sound fun.
Okay. Fireworks and candy.
Okay.
That's all I got for you.
Is that in the game?
That makes it sound fun.
Hey guys. You know what my favorite part about that game is?
What?
What's that?
That we're done talking about it because it's my turn to talk about the game.
My game
clearly doesn't win, but it's really good. You should check it out. It's only $1.
Hey, you never know. We could have a lot of goose.
Plant could describe like a toe surgery or something, and then you might pull it out.
The beginning of my game is they put a knife underneath my toenail and then they pull it back. My game is called Ziggurat, and it is on the iPhone. I believe for 99 cents. And it's the game of the year because you play as a lady with a laser gun, and there are freaks who are trying to get you, and you shoot the freaks with your laser gun.
That's a good
That
start.
Is how you pitch a game, Russ Freshstick.
Well, I don't have ladies or freaks in my game.
And you want to know the best part? Like, once you've shot enough freaks, do you know what happens once you've shot enough freaks?
You get a lot of points.
What's that?
Yeah, bigger freaks come out. And do you know what happens when you shoot the bigger freaks?
You have to put numbers on top of numbers until golf happens?
No, numbers, no golf, no Tiger Woods. UFOs show up. And do you know what the UFOs do if you shoot them?
Freaks.
Lightning. They splash the entire screen with lightning.
But like, if you get, like, a 4, what do you do then?
No, there's no numbers because it's a fun game.
Wait a minute. Is it virtual control pad?
No, it's its own type of controls. You drag your finger. Okay, so you're standing on top of a pyramid, right?
A ziggurat. Okay.
And sure. And I'd rather call it a pyramid, I think is a better title for the game. So when you're playing pyramid, you're on top of the pyramid, and the freaks are coming up at you from the bottom of the pyramid.
Sorry, is this pyramid solitaire?
No, it's just normal pyramid. Okay. It's golf pyramid. So you hold your finger on the screen, and that builds up your laser ball. And if you let go at the right time, you can fire a big laser ball. And you drag your finger from the left to the right to kind of aim in a 300-degree direction. You can't aim all 360 degrees, but I think you've got about 300 degrees.
Who would want to?
Which Bill Murray comedy does it remind you of?
If I had to name one, Ghostbusters.
Can you move? Can you just leave the pyramid?
No, you are trapped in place.
I would have to say for that reason alone, it can't qualify, because I would want a game that just allows me to just leave. I don't want to be here.
But you can't leave because the freaks are out there, and if you leave, they'll get you.
Is it one of those games where you?
One of those best games ever? Yeah.
No, short sessions, and the only thing that really matters in the end is your score.
At the end of the game, it says, like, you killed 120 of those crazy freaks.
So it's like a super crate box.
Kind of, yeah.
That's the experiences I like most on iOS are when, quickly repeatable, your score really means something. I mean, that number is tangible. It's something that if someone else plays the game. A lot of these games, they make so many fractions between different modes and stuff like that, that like high scores don't really count for anything. I'm kind of in the like single mode, single. What is that the kind of thing?
I think you'd like this, and you know, I think you'd like it more. Is it kind of has other modes nested within the main mode, because there are kind of side leaderboards that you can pursue. So you could like just try to get the most hits on the UFO when it eventually comes, but that's really really difficult, and you'll usually die right away if you start shooting at it. So you can make it a more difficult game if you want to play to that leaderboard, but you could just focus on, like, keeping the freaks down.
Have you beaten it? Have you beaten Ziggurat?
Yeah, I killed all the freaks.
So you got to the end of the game and you saw the credits?
No, there's no end of the game. It's unlimited freaks.
So you're judging a game you didn't even finish.
No, I didn't. Of course I didn't beat it.
I'm saying you brought a game to the discussion that you didn't finish, and I think that I know this is the first episode, but I feel like we should outlaw that right from the jump.
And maybe even ban Chris from ever appearing on the show again.
Permanent disqualification. We'll think about that over halftime. Let's take a break from all these video games. You know, we talk a lot about them. We're thinking about them, writing about them every day. What else is going on with you guys? What are you guys into?
I got a really cool Viking painting for my living room. How do you guys feel about that?
Does it do your taxes for you? Because I'm trying to think of something that's more boring than your game. I love your Viking painting. I saw it hanging above your... Would you say that's above your...
It's in my living room.
In your living room.
Can
I saw it as above a table.
Paint a visual.
Okay, I'll do that. It's a painting of two Vikings skiing down a hill, and each of the Vikings
recreationally, recreational winter sports.
It would appear that it's during war, so it doesn't.
They're not like
recreational.
They're not smiling. They're not wearing
they're
big
very,
80s
very
glasses.
Okay, and both of them are equipped. So one of them has a spear, and the other one has an axe. Now I'm about to throw in something surprising. Brace yourself.
Caddyshack.
The second one is carrying a baby in a small satchel.
Okay.
Now, people from, I believe it's Norway, would know this painting. It's like a very famous painting in Norway. I'm not from Norway, so I just recently discovered it.
Question.
Yeah.
Is this painting the inspiration for the James Bond movie Moonraker?
Probably not. I don't think there's any
comparison. I believe
comparison.
The beginning of that movie is James Bond is on skis shooting bad guys, and he's carrying a baby.
I don't remember the baby. Is there a baby?
He's shredding some fresh powder, and he's carrying a newborn.
And then at the end, he at the end of the hill, there's a submarine waiting for him, and he goes in the submarine, and there's like a 50-year-old woman in the submarine, and he like totally makes out with her.
Mm-hmm.
I want a photo of that. To hang on my wall.
I'll put that poster up.
Yep.
Why did you buy this? Did you buy this?
Yeah, I bought it. I was in Utah a couple years ago, and I saw it hanging on a wall. I'm like, damn, that's awesome. I want that for my apartment.
What wall? This is important.
This was in a ski resort.
Okay.
So that was appropriate.
So appropriate there.
Not appropriate in a New York City apartment.
I would say maybe not appropriate there.
But it brings an
also,
error.
Also, you have no Norwegian heritage. Do you think that maybe you're, like, it's insensitive?
No, I'm supporting their heritage.
And
they
just
laughed
at the baby.
They get a percentage of the dollars.
they do?
Yeah.
You're a liar.
I think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
You think Vikings are getting a cut of your
It's
Viking
more than that.
Painting?
He thinks that the subjects of paintings get royalties for when you buy paintings with them in it.
Right.
Like if you buy a painting of a basket of fruit from a hotel, then fruit farmers get like, a little cut.
Like that weird guy with the apple in his face, that guy's children are like mad rich.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
That seems like it would be really hard to maintain.
It's tough.
Well, I mean, it's not like a big deal because they all have fruit for faces, so they can't eat, so they die really young.
Oh, sure. They I don't even know fruit. How his family's... Yeah.
Russ, how do you... how do you digest this painting? Do you just sit and watch it? How does one consume
if
a
one
painting?
If one could high-five themselves, that's what I do every time I look at it. I'm like, yeah.
The amazing thing is one does have two hands.
Yeah,
it is within the realm of believability.
That's really more of a clap. I wouldn't call that a high five.
So you kind of do, you clap.
I nod. Like well, I nod at myself and I'm like, good purchase, Russ.
Yay! I did it. Yeah, like the berries and cream guy, just dancing.
I was really happy with my purchase.
You know what purchase I was happy with?
What's that?
Our soon to be our game of the year, Mutant Blobs. Attack. Actually, full title, Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack. This is the sequel to Tales from Space About a Blob, which was released on PSN last year. Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack is on
the
Vita.
How many letters are in that title?
I don't know.
I mean, what? Because we had a 10 letter limit, right?
Yeah.
There was no 10 letter limit, no.
Oh, you didn't get that memo?
No, absolutely not.
We came up with that scientific proof that the longer a game's title is, the dumber it is always.
I will concur with you that this is not a good title, but it is a good game. It's $8, so that's good. You can get off of PSN on your Vita. And it's a side-scrolling sort of puzzle platformer, I would guess. Basically, there are sort of a Katamari vibe. You have to absorb junk lying around levels. And then you're trying to get big enough to eat the cork that is keeping you from the drain that will lead you to the next area. And that's just sort of the basis. From there, you can you get the ability to fly. You get the ability to stick to magnetic, use magnetic power to stick to a metal object. It's constantly introducing new, really neat mechanics that... It only explores long enough to mine all the fun from them, and then it moves on. It never feels repetitive. It never feels like something you've done before. Everything feels new and fresh with every time you do it.
Okay. Which Bill Murray comedy?
The Blob is almost like Slimer, so I'm going to say it's like Ghostbusters 2 when Slimer kind of blew up. And everybody was tuning in to
when everyone was see drinking his juice.
Everybody was drinking his Ecto coolers and just
I
loving
got,
it.
I got some major problems with the game so far. First off, Ziggurat was a buck, right?
Yeah.
And your bullshit golf game
Fairway
was
Solitaire.
A buck. Yeah, it's $1. I would say that it's probably 800,000 times funner than Fairway Solitaire, just from what you've described. But I don't know that it is 8 times the fun value of Ziggurat, you know? Is it 800% funner, would you say, than Ziggurat? Sounds like its Laser Babe content is really yeah. low.
I don't want to, like, sell you short, Justin. It sounds like it's, like, maybe 600%, like, but, like...
Blobs are great. Aliens, I love it. Ziggurat's got aliens, and it's got Laser Babes, and it's 800% cheaper, if math is right.
Guys, but I have not a right. 3 in mine. There's a 3 and a jack.
Oh, wait. Are we talking about ripping up cards again?
We're talking about
okay.
cards.
Justin, defend your game.
Okay. You can't play mine with ingredients that you find in your silverware drawer. So that is a benefit over yours.
Oh, do you know what you can play yours with? That system what? That nobody owns yet.
That's true. That is...
Oh, yeah.
That is...
You know what you can play mine with? The thing that everybody keeps in their pocket because it's like what connects you to life.
Mine has lots of charm. It has references to other indie games, which I like.
Let's be honest though.
There is one that I thought was kind of funny. It's there's a billboard for Super Brothers, and it's SOUP Brothers.
That's not how you spell Super Brothers.
Sweet and sour soup, And it's S-W-E-E-T-S-W-O-U-R-S. It really works better when you look at it.
Talking about numbers, letters are really doing it
for you. I see it, I guess.
Which letters are before and after C?
That's a sequel.
Oh, God, I'm hooked.
Blob's Attack. If you have a Vita, don't pay $50 to play a console game. Pay $8,
Justin. Nobody has a Vita. You're basically endorsing a $258 video game.
Griffin, why don't we talk about yours? What's your pick?
Mine is Welcome Park.
Now, what is that?
Explain. First off, Justin, before you bring your bullshit, it is at least $8 up on the shit that you're bringing because it's free for everyone.
So you just made the argument that you have to buy hardware to experience it.
What's the console, Griffin? Tell me about Welcome Park.
The Welcome Park is an app. I would say it's more of an app experience, like a life experience that you experience on your Vita that you're going to buy eventually because all your friends have it and they want to near with you. So
how does one near with another?
You sync your near, and then you trade presents. I haven't figured it out.
Do you contract anything when you trade presents?
When you trade gifts on near, and you interface with an e-bud...
What you do is you buy cards, and you swipe them.
You swipe the cards, and you get trophies.
Wait, cards? You guys say cards?
You get cards?
Now he piqued his interest.
He stopped looking at the painting on his wall for half a minute.
It's all right, Nam Nam. Law and Order will be on soon. Just relax. I'll put it on TBS like you like.
Wait, so you've got your... I've got my e-buds. Now what do I do with
them?
Okay,
you have e-buds and you're on
mirror.
How
do I turn them on?
You switch. E-buds switch on the left side of the Vita.
Griffin, tell us about Welcome Park, please.
Welcome Park
I'm begging
is a
you.
Suite of... app experiences. You got Digit Tap. They're all designed to teach you how you use your Vita. It's edugaming at its finest.
What do you tap in Digit Tap? What are you tapping? Tell me what you're tapping.
Listen, you're tapping... I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you, Plant. You're tapping numbers.
Oh my God.
Let me finish, please.
Who aren't you?
Show me the best friend.
I might have to change my vote.
Show me the best friend respect. Show me some best friend respect.
Griffin, you're basically endorsing for Game of the Year. You're endorsing something that teaches you how to use a Vita. You're endorsing the video game version of the Mr. Paperclip from Word. Like that's Griffin's Game of the Year.
Imagine if Mr. Paperclip were vibrant and beautiful and an experience, not just a person, but an experience, a suite of experiences.
No, we're not being fair. What do you do after you tap all the numbers in order?
So Digitap, you tap the numbers in sequence. Sometimes you gotta tap two numbers at the same time. And then there's sticker peel, where you peel stickers in sequence. Those numbers go up to 9, and I'm sorry. I didn't think about that.
Do the numbers ever go down?
No, they always go up.
So it's only half as complicated.
Mine goes up to 10
and Jack and King.
Yeah.
Well, so, real quick question. What number comes after 4?
4 is 5. Is,
oh, great.
Comes after 5.
Man, this game is going to be fun.
So you can see the sticker peels off a little bit to tell you what the next sticker in sequence is if you're not so great with numbers.
If you need a game to teach you how to touch a screen, it's not that far off from possibility.
But then there's a game that teaches you how to touch the back of the console unit. So that is... it's wildly valuable because nobody... This is a whole new lane. They took it up another level, their game.
That game is just a big piece of duct tape, and then it says, never do this again, and cover the back, and you're done.
You get it, and you get the knowledge, and then you know how to be better at all the other games. So
it's the
like
Latin of video games.
There's an app where you take a picture, an app experience where you take a picture, and then it turns that picture into a slide puzzle, and there's all different kinds of settings. How do you want this slide puzzle to be?
Wow.
Wait. Let's talk about
technology
this
from 1863.
Do I have to take one of your face?
There's one. Thank you, Chris Plant. You're making my argument for me. There is indeed another app for free, a free app value, and you take a picture of three dots that are laid out like a triangle with two dots at the top and one dot at the bottom, and it turns it into a face. So if you have three coins against a plain backdrop, then it turns two of them into eyeballs, one into a mouth, and it's fun.
I want to say what happened when I did this. I took a picture of myself and it said, that's not a face.
Yeah.
Well, I took a picture of my wife and said, that's not a face.
You, it warns you, Chris Plant. It says, this doesn't work good with human faces.
You can only be so ugly.
I'll tell you what it does work with, though. If you take your shirt off and take a picture of your nipples and belly button, it will animate it into a face.
Griffin, can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
When I told you the idea for this show, did you think we were ironically bringing the worst thing we could think of? Did you think that was the gag?
Have I not made the argument? First off, no. It's like 12 things. Second off, totally free. So it is infinity percent cheaper and better than all the other shit that you've brought to the table.
Guys,
it doesn't have laser beams inherently. You can take a picture of a naked woman or a naked man and turn it into a slide puzzle.
Guys, that is so terrible. I just clipped my toenails. That's like 10 things, and they're free. So like, if anybody wants to put them up as their game of the year... I've got 10 toenail clippings.
Do your toenails have touch screens that are transistive or capacitive?
Sorry,
what's the one's right?
Transop, I think.
That was terrible. I'm like stunned. I was not expecting it to be that bad.
Thank God, Russ, you were worried you were going to end up in last place.
Yeah,
I'm not prepared to say which game is not game of the year right now.
I got 11 trophies, including a gold trophy for beating everything in Welcome Park.
Okay,
so there's another value.
Here's what's not game of the year.
Okay.
Welcome Park.
Okay, we can all agree on that.
We can't all agree on that. I feel like that's the final flaw of this show.
Okay, Welcome Park is out.
God damn it.
Okay. I would like to say Mutant Space Blob is a really well made game, and
never heard of it.
I haven't. Well,
never heard of
have,
it. $8.
That's objectively untrue because I told you about it.
I want Ziggurat to go up against a worthy contender, so I am happy to say that Happy Time Rip Up Your Cards is like not.
I don't know why you guys are. You don't rip up cards. I don't know how you guys got hung up.
You
on
rip
that.
Up cards and you say mean things about
cards and you buy more cards. And I don't think I'm not ready to do that.
Griffin, I know you like my pick, even though I described it horribly. I know you're a fan of Fairway Solitaire.
You know what? Maybe I do like Fairway Solitaire. Maybe I play it all the time at the movies with my girlfriend.
I know.
But guess what? You didn't back me up with Welcome Park, so I'm going to burn your game to the ground.
No!
What? Oh, I've never heard of Fairway Solitaire, but it sounds really shitty.
Okay, but how... Oh, God. We've got to unify... Wait, Griffin. Because we've been sort of outvoted here. We have to unify our forces against their games. How do we do that?
First off, let me just say, if anybody from Big Fish Games is listening, I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, seriously. Great game, guys.
I just can't describe it for shit. The things I'm doing now, they're for goofs, so try not to take any of it to heart.
The things Tim Rogers writes are so long.
Yeah.
And he made Ziggurat, and that's a lot of reading that he's forced people to do. So I feel like Mutant Blob's Attack. Tales from Space,
Look how
Mutant
much
Blob's
reading
Attack.
I have to do just to find your game. I tried to Google it, and I got tired halfway through. I was like, Tales from... and that was...
There's going to be an easy test. I like how political the show's gotten all of a sudden, because Justin, if you had to pick which was better, Welcome Park or Card Time,
Fairway Solitaire,
which would you go with?
I think I would probably pick...
You know it. You know it.
I would probably pick Fairway Solitaire. Yeah, it's an actual ass game.
My vote is for Chris Plant's game, whatever it was. I forgot.
And I would also pick Fairway Solitaire. So now that I have Griffin's vote, Russ, you want to join my side?
Yeah, you know what? I think Plant might have a point. I like it.
So I think that's a 3-1. You feel comfortable with that, Justin? Ziggurat is the first ever Besties best game of the year.
It is the current holder of the Bestie award.
And we might be pronouncing it wrong. I don't know.
Ziggurat. No, that's right.
And it's pronounced Pyramid.
It's pronounced Pyramid, the game.
We will... So congratulations to Tim Rogers and co. I don't know if there is an and co or if it's just Tim Rogers making a game in his basement. But congratulations to them for being the current Bestie. Next week, we will talk about 4 new titles, and those titles will have to not only go up against each other, but go up against Ziggurat.
Pyramid.
Great.
Also, Welcome Park. It's a dark horse. I think it's going to make a nice end of the year rally during like our Christmas special.
I'm pretty sure Welcome Park died a horrible death moments ago.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure of all the bullshit games you guys came up with, no one's going to play it as much as they play Welcome Park because it's free. It's compulsory. You have
it's
to play
also
it.
Also over, Griffin. It's over. Let it go. Thank you guys for listening. I'm not even going to do plugs because I don't know how integrated we'll be with iTunes and the like. But do follow Vox Games, at Vox Games on Twitter. You're going to find a lot of our stories there. And you can also visit theverge.com/gaming to see all of the stories and neat stuff we're working on. It's all very much smarter than what you're listening to right now.
The forums would be a good place to argue about everybody's relative wrongness and rightness.
Yeah. Yeah, so just maybe we'll make a besties thread there in the forums that you can go and talk about this week's episode. And be sure to join us again next Friday on Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends decide the world's best games?